Hello, welcome back to the Type 1 Radio Lounge. We're back for another episode after a week off, because we were all doing something else last week. And a belated thank you very much to Andrew Johnson and Dr. Judy Wood for providing us with a marvellous show a couple of weeks ago, which was just after the stunning news that we learned of Stellan Allen being Well, we already knew he wasn't such a nice guy, but it's now been confirmed he was definitely not a nice guy, and our thoughts are to his victims. And enough said about that, I guess. And so welcome, we're back with the Fab Four, although two of them have disappeared. Swami, I'm sure, will be back very shortly. He's just been dropped for some reason.
I'm here.
See if we can
Okay.
He's back.
We're all
Fajic's just nipped out for a minute to powder her nose, I guess. But the four of us are back for what's going to be a bumper of a show, I guess. I hope. Sure it is. Quite a lot's happened in the fortnight since we were last on. Most notably, everybody from the 70s seems to be dying. And, of course, someone from the 50s and 60s has left us this week in the shape of Mr. George Martin, who was... I'm sure everybody knows who he was. Was he the fifth handler of the boys?
or was he the first handler?
Or was he the first handler? Yeah, well, he was known as the fifth beetle, wasn't he? But he's, you know, definitely sort of... I can't remember
off the top of my head,
but was he...
But the fifth beetle, though, wasn't... Stuart Sutcliffe supposed to have been the fifth Beatle in that he was before.
He was the second Beatle because he formed it with John Lennon.
Right.
And then you've got Pete Best.
Yes.
Was the fourth Beatle, so Ringo effectively was the fifth Beatle. And then you've got also. There was another one, wasn't there? I'm sure. But anyway, what I was going to say before that was, wasn't George Martin part of MI5 or some kind of military background?
He's got to have been, really, isn't he?
I think he was in the Navy or something like that, wasn't he?
I'm sure he's got Tavistock roots at some point.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Because... in the Committee of 300, John Coleman does go into quite a lot about the Beatles the way that it was like Beatlemania was manipulated in the States. And also the Stones as well. I was reading something the other day, which was saying that the Beatles and the Stones were sort of almost like the angels and demons, in that the Beatles sort of went had this angelic posturing, and the Stones sympathy for the devil and. What happened at that strange concert?
Yeah, but to be fair, that
Altamont. Yeah.
Yeah, but to be fair, that came after the sort of after the '67 sort of transformation. But in the earlier days, that always was the Stones were the sort of rebel rouser types, and the Beatles were the sort of fresh young, goody
nice
sort of types, nice ones exactly. And so before that sort of LSD crossover, but. Which is, I was going to talk about it later. Did you get that tune that I sent you, the first sort of openly psychedelic tune the Beatles done?
Yeah.
Was Tomorrow Never Knows, and it was basically, rumours have it, it was at behest of both of them. Like George Martin was pushing them towards sort of doing stuff like that, as well as John Lennon sort of, instrumentally sort of calling for it to be done. These... new techniques of reversing tapes and putting in, slowing things down and speeding things up, which you can do at a, a flick of a mouse these days, but back in those days, that took some doing.
Yeah, yeah.
It took a lot of technical.
So there was a lot of intention going on.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And he was only too happy to sort of do this. Now, this guy comes from a classical background, so obviously would have been irking him somewhat to do it. So there must have been some kind of, kind of pressure for him to do it. Because given he was the head of the record label.
Yeah.
He was head of Parlophone. He was given that as a sort of project to do because he'd had so much success with the likes of Peter Sellers and Bernard Cribbins, for fuck's sakes, was his biggest artist before the Beatles. And for our American company, Bernard Cribbins is a corny sort of English comic type.
Oh, okay. I hadn't heard that name before.
Well, yeah, his biggest hit was called Right Said Fred, which was about a dodgy builder. It was like comedy records.
For all the Doctor Who, American Doctor Who fans, he was in one of the original films and then came back as a different character in this new lot as Catherine Tate's granddad, I think.
Yeah, was it granddad or father?
Yeah, one of the two. I don't think it was like Billy Piper's character, was it? It was.
No, it was Catherine Tate. Yeah. I'd stop watching it before that anyway.
Fortunately, one of the guys that I support is an avid Doctor Who fan, so I get to encounter Doctor Who quite regularly.
Yeah, it's all right. I just got bored with it. My attention span doesn't last, than a couple of series.
Some in the later series. There's some interesting concepts being pushed. In sort of what is, in all intents and purposes, very light-hearted sci-fi. Getting back to George Martin.
George Martin.
For somebody of his background, and yeah, it's almost like he was given a pet project. With Paul, but ended up being really good at it.
And if
our previous guest, Dave McGowan, was saying about the master discs of various, Crosby tunes and various others being. Taken to some sort of altar room where incantations were. I'm sure that was going on the same over here with the Beatles and the Stones. And it could very, with this back technique being introduced at that time, Yes We Can. The situation can be put on there, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, not only did he work on the Beatles music, but he was very instrumental in the James Bond sort of series as well. A lot of Goldfinger was produced by him.
What were we, John Barry?
It wasn't credited to him, but he actually produced a lot of the string arrangements and a lot of the post-production on the Bond stuff.
Well, and then Paul McCartney was brought in for Live and Let Die, wasn't he, as well? So,
yeah. But, way before that, because I'm desperately trying to find his... I'm sure he's got a naval background. I'm sure he came from the Navy, which would tie in with Ian Fleming. And Ian Fleming's obviously got ties to Crowley and what have you, and Crowley was on the cover of the Sergeant Pepper and all this,
and he is a big friendly giant as Roald Dahl.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you notice that little image I stuck on top of your image?
I'd
never seen that before, with his two upturned fists holding his jaw up. That's a very Crowley and sort of Masonic sort of pose, that one, isn't it? Normally you see one under the chin, but two is fucking straight out of Crowley.
his early days, I can hear myself a little bit there. He was looking a bit like a young Prince Philip.
Yes. Well, and he's old. I mean, now, or the last sort of picture that I'm looking at, now he's definitely got the Philip about him, hasn't he?
Yeah, so, you know, he could very well be bloodline.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just trying to see. I mean, he was born in Wiltshire, which, you know, doesn't really tell us anything. But EMI, who, you know, was the record label, and who built Abbey Road, where they made components for the fucking military as well. You know, that was their, that was a side project of theirs, was like sound recording.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which came from bug. I think it was they were making bugs. You know, like what do you call it? Sort of radar-y stuff and all that for intelligence during the war.
Well, that's
and all the stuff that sort of didn't make it into the sort of the espionage world was put into the Abbey Road, basically. And that was a testing ground for these devices. And it, you know, that's what basically built up our music technology that, you know, Britain sort of trailblazed the way for in the 60s.
Well, once again, the military-industrial complex.
Absolutely. And do you remember Peter? Do you remember the fella Peter Wright?
Yeah.
Wrote the novel Spycatcher.
Yeah.
Well, his father, it was, I can't remember if it was him or his father, had a company called MK, funnily enough, which make plug sockets and what have you. And they were funded directly from EMI. It's the web is deep with this one, sort of thing. And it's funny how, I mean, he was 90, so you can't really say, was he taken out? Because he, you know, he was probably so high up the food chain that he wouldn't be taken out, because he was such a sort of integral part of what, you know, Shake, Rattle and Roll sort of era, Crowley and era sort of was, you know, through the Beatles.
Yeah.
Stones and, yeah, and, you know, and the link to the Bond thing is also, you know, very intriguing. Care to add to that? I'm just going to try and find these.
Yeah, being taken out at 90 isn't really. You can't really say that.
Hello there, Fajic.
Hello. We have you at last, Nick.
Yes, yes.
I heard you were having technical.
We were having technical difficulties here, but now all fixed.
Or, as we also call them, type 1 normalities. Same thing. Just
every day at the office.
I've just Googled George Martin's naval career, and it's come up with Sir George Martin, 1764 to July 1847, so maybe I got that a bit wrong, because there was actually a Sir George Martin who was naval admiral of the fleet. So maybe another George Martin there. Beg your pardon.
Perhaps.
Well, it is very easy to create, and probably even easier back then to create backstories for people.
Mm.
Or to cover the backstory.
Mm-hmm. Create a history for them.
Yeah.
Sharing all the, you know, when someone dies, you get the masses of sort of articles and outpourings. And I'm sure I read somewhere that he came, you know, but everybody from that era did national service anyway. So, you know, there's a high chance he came through some sort of military thing through Tavistock to produce this band who were, you know, they are the most successful of all time, aren't they? You've got to say they are the most sort of. I mean, funnily enough, I don't know why I do this, but I was reading through some sort of celebrity garb earlier, and it was the 20 most rich rock stars, and McCartney is obviously number one, with £1.2 billion in the bank. Yeah. Mm. Didn't mention any of the Rat Boys, because I'm sure Dr. Dre must be up there, because he's the first rap billionaire, or one of them. along with Jay-Z and what have you, sort of thing.
Well, maybe sure. Jay-Z's not right up there, because it was that was only maybe a year, 18 months ago that Dre sold Beats to Apple. So, and he was the first then. I don't think Jay-Z's got into the billions. He's fucking loaded, but I don't think he's a billionaire.
He's in the club.
He's in the club for sure.
Yeah, yeah, he's in the club, but not necessarily the billionaire club.
He's got to do something really bad to get in there.
Yeah. He's got to really sell his soul.
Yeah. You've got to not just be aware that other people are doing it, you've got to do it too.
Right, instead of just renting his wife's soul out.
So, I've just Googled George Martin MI5, and just scrolling down, one of the things that came up was this BBC story, MI5 named UK's most gay-friendly employer after survey.
Equal ops.
And if you think about it, gays are the perfect spies because they don't have any dependents to force their hand.
And obviously in the past when things like this were kind of, you know, you weren't allowed to, you know, it wasn't socially acceptable to come out as being gay in any way. Of course, that was the perfect kind of underground boys network to, you know, to be able to, you know, use espionage and these kind of things.
Yeah.
It's like an unspoken Masonic thing in a way, isn't it? It's the club you're a member of that you don't tell anybody else you're a member of other than people that are in it, you know? You have the little signals and things that you mentioned in conversation that come up.
And you've got the Brian Epstein thing, of course.
Yeah, of course.
He was forced to kill himself because of his persuasion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even like looking through, like who was the, not Harvey Proctor, who was the liberal MP Jeremy Thorpe years ago. I mean, it's not that long ago. What was that? 70s? Yeah, 70s.
Forty years ago.
Well, yeah, but it's not like 100 years ago.
But they squeezed him out, knowing full well that, you know, William fucking Heath was in power at that time, round about that time, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And wasn't he?
Well, so, yeah, famously the only unmarried prime minister with many, many allegations of various types of abuse surrounding him.
We can only speculate on, but... anecdotal...
And reptilian.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So they say. Yeah, I mean, it does seem that, you know, within government and higher up places, the were circles of kind of, you know, there was sexual indulgences going on that weren't acceptable to the general public at that time. Most namely homosexuality, which obviously now isn't such a big deal. Everybody's got a gay friend.
And now that the focus has turned to, you know, like gender fluidity.
No, it's ridiculous. I mean, we were just talking the other week, weren't we, about the ridiculous thing that came up at one of the schools here. I mean, it's not just at this particular school that made it into the press here. It's in all schools. What they're you know, putting these options for kids where there were 26 options for them to choose what their sexuality was.
No. What their gender was.
Yeah, which is ridiculous because you're one gender or the other, but your sexuality is something else, isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
The latest scoop on that one is the Witowski that started off as the brothers, then went to siblings, and now they're sisters.
Yes, yes.
Mm. Oh, the Witowski.
Yeah, the other ones decided to become
the fucking
woman as well.
They've gone through the Matrix.
They've definitely gone through the Matrix and fucking been shat out the other side.
And remember, who was the spy who decided to become a woman as well? The one who...
David Shaler.
Yeah.
Remember him?
Yeah.
Has he? What's he called now? Barbara.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah.
Debbie.
No, I don't know.
David Debbie.
I don't know. I don't know what he's gone for, but...
Davina.
I remember seeing a picture of him. Yeah. Remember seeing a picture of him in a leopard skin miniskirt and lipstick, and just thinking, "Oh my God, what have they done to him?" But there we go.
And now Caitlin's sort of thinking, "Was that a good idea? Did I really want to do that?"
Are they saying that now?
Well, yeah, Caitlin Jenner has been. Saying that.
Really?
Yeah.
Apparently saying, I'm not sure if I really am a woman. maybe there were psychological issues that you needed to kind of go through with a professional and sort yourself out, rather than just going, I'm a woman now, I'm going to take the pills and have the operation.
Well,
so now Bruce is sad that when he skydives, he whistles on the way down. Slides down the banister and goes.
Swami!
David Shaler update. He's still called David.
Oh, he still calls himself David, even though he likes to dress as a lady.
According to Wiki.
I think he doesn't identify as a woman. He just likes to dress as a woman.
Which is really bizarre, isn't it? Because bits of cloth in different shapes is all what clothes are. So, women wear trousers, and Scottish men wear kilts. So I think some of the transvestites go a bit too dour, though. Some of them you see, and it's like, well, you could just just wearing really old cardigans and got bad perms.
Yeah. Like Miss Trunchbull.
Yeah.
And on that note, can we just say happy birthday to Liza Minnelli?
Don't rain on the parade.
Come to the cabaret, old son.
Wow.
Happy birthday, Liza.
She did talk to Dorothy, didn't she?
Literally.
She came out of Dorothy's vagina, for fuck's sake. Called her mama. Yeah, wouldn't want to be over that rainbow.
Yeah, strange life she had as well, didn't she?
Yeah, man.
You can just see it in her that she's a bit kind of confused about it.
Traumatized.
She has that kind of appeal. I mean, God love her, but I see she has that kind of sense that she's grown up not really knowing where her ground zero is, where her base is. She's and she's in this, been in the show business world, which is just another tornado to try to get a hang of as well, and
all those analogies are coming out there, aren't they?
Of course, she didn't do too badly out of it, I suppose.
She's still going,
she had an exciting, she had quite an eventful and
Yeah.
Paul Love had. I'm talking in the past. She no, has.
She is having. Yeah, she's still doing it.
Still having. And good luck.
Still loving the dream.
And she looks relatively good for 70.
That's great. Yeah, man. Yeah. Absolutely. See how that trauma can sometimes.
Have you noticed that the sort of women of that age don't seem to have aged for the past sort of 20, 30 years?
Is that down to injections and surgery?
Yeah, could very well be.
That's you, Swami.
And some of the images they let out are only of the highest quality.
You don't see
perception
them.
Perception management's very high up in these people. Yeah.
You don't see them having breakfast at 8:30 in the morning, do you?
You don't see them changing their colostomy bags or anything like that.
Yeah, putting their wigs on.
Yeah. They don't know fucking
well,
what's going on them at sort of half 8:00.
Well, what's that film called Death Becomes Her? With Bette Midler, Meryl Streep, and
Goldie Hawn,
Bruce Willis,
and where they're sort of like the hundreds of years old, aren't they, or something, or aren't they dead? And then they come back, but they have so much.
Yeah, that's it. They're pretty much dead. Yeah. And what's the name of the French actress? Who's
Bonnie? No, it's not her, is it? It's not.
Yeah, she's the one that gives them the file of stuff, but it ends up turning them into vampires, essentially, and they have to keep being remade because Bruce Willis is a plastic surgeon.
Yeah.
I
can't remember.
Isabella Rossellini.
Isabella
Rossellini, that's it.
Well done.
I was thinking of Binoche or whatever her name is. Brioche.
Oh, yeah. Chocolate.
When it was in Chocolate.
Yeah, that's quite a good film, that.
That film,
great film. We've almost watched that a couple of times, haven't we, since...
I've watched it more than a couple
of times. It does make you want to visit a chocolate shop, though, in France.
Makes you want to fall asleep in a chocolate shop window, doesn't it?
it's a good story.
I watched The Truman Show this week. I haven't seen it for years, but it's wicked, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good one. Very interesting.
Say hello, Howard.
Hello, Howard.
Hello, Howard.
Hello, Howard.
Hello, Howard.
He can't hear you, but you can hear him.
Oh,
all right. I hope you did say. I hope you passed our good wishes on.
Yeah, the gang says hi.
Hi ho. That camping.
He's getting into his tip jar.
Tip.
His tip jar.
Yeah.
We can hear it.
Is he celebrating Liza's birthday?
Are you celebrating Liza's birthday?
Whose birthday?
Liza Minnelli. She's 72. He says, "Yeah, I'm a fuck."
She celebrate mine. Does she book?
There we go.
Sure she would. Yeah.
That'll be a no.
He says no. He's getting over a cold. He's a bit cranky.
Oh, fuck off.
I think half the population here are getting over a cold, aren't they?
There's been a massive old conspiracy flu going around, isn't there?
Well, I don't know. I don't like to get too kind of.
Lots of people have been. Our good friend Jake mentioned that he sort of he felt it was through kids being given a spray at school. Mm. Remember he dropped that one on us.
Mm-hmm. Well, he told you that.
He told me, and he said that he'd because he'd been in contact with because there's a school near him, isn't there?
Uh-huh.
Who'd had the spray in the throat, and
They had actually sprayed.
They sprayed them in the throat.
Oh. For what?
For, I don't know, kind of vaccine kind of deal.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Is that and, what the polio vaccine's in now? Just like a...
Here's a little present for your immune system.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't heard about that
one. I don't know, yeah. I mean, I was thinking, fucking hell, when did you turn into Alex Jones? But he reckons that, yeah, he heard that round about his area, because there's a couple of little schools around his sort of neck of the woods.
Oh, I don't know.
They've been given this spray to their throat and as a sort of
and there's also
a protector.
There's also a private hospital there, isn't there? No.
There's a private hospital right there, yeah. But you'd have to pay for it there. This is a school you just get given it.
Just being sprayed.
And he had come down with this dreadful sort of flu-like thing that he just couldn't shake off, and a lot of his neighbours had as well. So,
definitely something.
Because I had actually suffered from my first sort of cold flu for a long time.
You did, didn't you?
Year,
you never get anything.
I'm a tough motherfucker. I'm a wee bab, yeah.
I must be tougher than you. I didn't get it.
No, yeah. I must have come in contact with one of these, like, children of the corn.
Well, how come
children of the spray corn.
Well, was that...
Maybe it jumps from them.
Was that after working at the university, though?
Sorry?
Was that after you working at the university where there's...
Yeah, that's a possibility. Yeah. Because I was out in the rain a lot and sort of just been dreadfully cold and sort of... mind you, my new job, I'm out in the elements all the time and I've had my first cracked lip for the first time in years.
Yeah.
Oh, bless.
Working next door to David Gilmour's house. I saw him the other day there.
Oh, down on the front?
Yeah, it's quite amazing seeing one of your heroes.
He's
dodging around as an old guy.
he's just bought the what used to be that squat on the front there, Medina House.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's buying
the
up a lot.
The old baths, as it used to be.
He's also bought this, it's an old garage that used to be, it's a studio. And he's like, Vic used to go there years ago. He's going, oh yeah, that's always been a recording studio sort of thing. And he's bought this and it's absolutely huge, amazing sort of building. Yeah, it'd be great to be rich, Steve. He owns like the whole, what he's bought, because those old houses down the front used to be one house.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're sort of five flats. And he's bought all the flats off the people, but there's one person won't sell to him. Because he's said, well, you're a rich rock star, I want X amount, and he's going, well, no, I'm going to give you market value. And he went, no, you're not. You're not getting this one then. So he can't have it, basically. Yeah. Fair enough.
Well, yeah, if he's a mega rich rock star, and he's
got to be,
buy the whole of the thing.
Well, like I said earlier about Paul McCartney,
pay over the price.
The one who's two behind Paul McCartney is Roger Waters, you know, in the richest fuck stakes sort of thing. So, Gilmour can't be too far behind him.
Yeah. And there's been a real, I don't know, well, I've noticed or felt that there's been a bit of a sort of resurgence of, especially Dark Side of the Moon. Have you not noticed that? I mean, it's always popular, but in the last couple of years.
No, Pink Floyd are always in the sort of thereabouts of the selling charts.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? And every generation, in another sort of 5 or 6 years,
the next
generation coming through.
They get rediscovered.
Like, they'll just discover Floyd and smoking dope and shit.
Funnily enough, on our old mate Jan Irvin's Facebook thing the other day, he posted this thing saying that old music is now outselling new music. For every new album that's sold, there's four old albums sold.
And the last time I went to HMV, they had a massive vinyl section.
Vinyl's back in a big one.
But the vinyl is well expensive. It's like 20, 25 quid.
It's hugely expensive, yeah. I was reading another thing about that, funnily enough, the other day, and saying how cheap it is to fucking to produce now, because it's not the way it used to be done from old petrochemicals things. It's actually made out of recycled material, new vinyl.
I bet it's the same stuff that they use in 3D printers.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's people listening to their old milk cartons.
Yeah.
Just imagine, but you get a really good resonance if you were using hemp. making hemp records.
So using it to create the music in the first place and then using it to be played through. It'd be funny if it was old vinyl records, because there's got to be fucking millions of them in landfill and all around the world, isn't there? You know, the cheesy ones that never ever sold. Imagine they were sort of melted down to make new albums.
I bet the people who made those stupid things like, you know, plant pot holders out of vinyl records, you see them in these like recycling shops, make a plant pot holder by melting it into
shape. Leave it in the sun on top of a bowl and it'll there you go.
Just melt into that shape.
And then it'll look like a Salvador Dali painting.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Or like we used to accidentally do, leave it in your back window in the car, you know.
Yeah. I remember I went to Spain in 1978. It was around the time Neil Young had released an album called Decade, which was a 10-year retrospective of his work sort of thing. And because it's Spain, it's really hot. And like the third disc in it got left in the sun, and it sort of like ever so slightly bowed, so you couldn't listen to the first two.
The CD.
It was a record. Triple album.
Oh.
So you couldn't listen to the third disc. You had to skip it forward. It was like, oh fuck.
Could you not put it in a warm place, but between two heavy things?
Hey.
He's shrugging his shoulders here. What does that mean?
I could have done, but I didn't think of it. I didn't know you then.
I see. Yeah. Me and my science mind there.
Yeah. What, reflatten it? Put it in a flower press next to a posy from the middle.
Flat earth it, you know.
Flat earth it, of course. Shit. Fire. So are we coming up on an hour?
No, we've still got 20 minutes left, so we've got another 15 minutes before playing a tune. So yeah. A toss up between whichever one you want. They're both.
Well, should we play?
But we don't really need to talk about that just yet.
Oh.
So,
should we not say? We won't. Any bongs to do before then? Should we?
Yes.
Or anything? Yep.
Well, isn't your one's going to take a while, Swami?
Should we do that after?
Depends which. I've got a number of them. Been saving them up.
Well. It's got a shortish one, because I believe the one you really want to get into is the one you sent as a clip solve, yeah?
Well, the first one I'd like to do is clip number one, and if that's ready to roll, let me know, and then I'll set it up.
And which one was it? The
Napolitano. The Newt one, the other one.
Yeah, okay.
It's a 5 minute.
This is ready to go now.
Okay, don't start it yet. Okay,
whoa, boys and girls.
I have to do the
We're
setup.
Back, folks. We're back.
And now, we're going live to Swami.
Broadcasting live from FEMA Region 5. Okay, once upon a time, there was a man named Judge Andrew Napolitano who worked for Fox News, and he was one of the good guys. Recently, he left Fox News. His contract was not renewed, and what you're about to hear are his final words on his show at Fox News, and see how many of these what ifs are actually happening now. Go.
Does the government work for us, or do we work for the government? Tonight, what if the Constitution no longer applied? What if the whole purpose of the Constitution was to limit the government? What if Congress's enumerated powers in the Constitution no longer limited Congress, but were actually used as a justification to extend Congress's authority over every realm of human life? What if the president, meant to be an equal to Congress, has instead become a democratically elected, term-limited monarch? What if the president assumed that everything he did was legal just because he's the president? What if he could interrupt your regularly scheduled radio and TV programming for a special message from him? What if he could declare war on his own? What if he could read your emails and your texts without a search warrant? What if he could kill you without warning? What if Supreme Court justices no longer looked to the Constitution to determine the constitutionality of a law, but rather simply to what justices who preceded them thought about it? What if the rights and principles guaranteed in the Constitution have been so distorted in the past 200 years as to be unrecognizable by the founders? What if the 50 states were no longer sovereign entities, equals to each other, and parents of the federal government they voluntarily constituted? What if the states were mere provinces of a totally nationalized and fully centralized government? What if the Constitution was amended stealthily, not by constitutional amendments duly ratified by the states, but by the constant and persistent expansion of the federal government's role in our lives? What if the federal government decided if its own powers were proper and constitutional? What if the Constitution were no longer the supreme law of the land? What if you needed a license from the government to speak, to assemble, or to protest against the government? What if the government didn't like what you planned to say, and so it didn't give you the license? What if the right to keep and bear arms only applied to the government? What if posse comitatus, the federal law that prohibits our military from occupying our streets, were no longer in effect? What if the government considered the military an adequate dispenser of domestic law enforcement? What if cops looked and acted like troops and you couldn't distinguish the military from the police? What if you were not secure in your person, in your papers, and in your property? What if federal agents could write their own search warrants in defiance of the Constitution? What if the government could decide when you were and were not entitled to a jury trial? What if the government could take your property whenever it wanted? What if the government could continue prosecuting you until it got the verdict it wanted? What if the government could force you to testify against yourself simply by labeling you a domestic terrorist? What if the government could torture you until you said what the government wanted to hear? What if people running for president actually supported torture? What if the government tortured your children to get to you? What if government judges and government lawyers intimidated juries into convicting the innocent? What if the government could send you to your death and your innocence meant nothing so long as the government's procedures were followed? What if America's prison population, the largest in the world, was a cruel and unusual way for a country to be free? What if half the prison population never harmed anyone but themselves? What if the people had no rights except those the government chose to let them have? What if the states had no rights except to do as the federal government commanded? What if our elected officials didn't really live among us, but instead all had their hearts and homes in Washington, D.C.? What if the government could strip you of your rights because of where your mother was when you were born? What if the income tax was unconstitutional? What if the states were convinced to give up their representation in Congress? What if the government tried to ban you from using a substance in your body that is older than the government itself? What if voting didn't mean anything anymore because both political parties stand for big government? What if the government could write any law, regulate any behavior, and tax any event? The Constitution be damned. What if the government was the reason we don't have a Constitution anymore? What if you could love your country but hate what the government has done to it? What if sometimes, to love your country, you had to alter or abolish the government? What if Jefferson was right? What if that government is best which governs least? What if I'm right? What if the government is wrong? What if it is dangerous to be right when the government is wrong? What if it is better to perish fighting for freedom than to live as a slave? What if freedom's greatest hour of danger is now?
The final words on Fox News of Judge Andrew Napolitano. We're going to miss it a great deal.
Yeah, he was
very interesting. Interesting that it should go out on Fox News as well, isn't it?
He was like the one voice on Fox News that was straight. I mean, not sexually, of course, but
you never know.
Yeah. Playing it constitutionally.
Yeah.
Playing it constitutionally. He was a judge. He was a good judge. And he did things and had beliefs that were Constitution-centered. And now he is no more on public airwaves. So, That's unfortunate. Mm.
So he's recently just lost his job then?
Yeah.
What,
because
of that speech?
No. That was the speech he chose to go out with.
Right, okay.
After that, he just walked off. Camera's still rolling. He just walks out. He knew he was done. There'll be, you know, there's all kinds of conspiracy theories saying that this was what got, but no, that's not the case. He had a contract. It was not renewed. So Fox made the decision to no longer have Judge Andrew Napolitano as part of their program. That's what actually happened. But you'll hear lots of other stuff about, oh, this got him, you know, that's not how it was.
Mm-hmm. So do you think he's going to be another Glenn Beck and write a book about Agenda 21?
Oh, who knows?
Well, do you think
I'm sure someone will give him a voice somewhere at some point, mm-hmm. but who knows, you know? You guys heard what happened with Glenn Beck. Threatening the life of Donald Trump, right?
Really?
He did.
Oh, what happened?
Yeah, Glenn Beck on his radio show said if he had a knife and could get close to Trump, the stabbing wouldn't end.
Really?
Really?
Yes. Right. Oh, Trump is under huge attack right now
from all
sides. Matter of fact, just a few hours ago in Ohio at a...
He had to call it off. Yeah.
No. That was last night in Chicago. Today, someone almost got on the stage to attack him physically.
Uh-huh.
And the Secret Service stopped the guy and cuffed him up and got him out of the event. You'll notice with Donald Trump, you'll never see Donald Trump's jacket buttoned because he's wearing a bulletproof vest at all times.
Mm. Why does he have Secret Service protecting him, though?
Yeah. He's not the president, is he?
Because he's running.
Because he owns the fucking Secret Service.
I don't know, does he?
Well, he's in... Well,
I just think that the fact that he's running and everything that he's doing is all part of the circus anyway, and so...
Possibly, yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter who loses to Hillary.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who wins or who loses, does it, really?
No, not really. And then, of course, Boogergate happened this week. You guys hip to that?
Sorry, say again?
Boogergate.
No, this week.
What's that all about?
On the last, the 16th Republican debate, a booger fell out of Ted Cruz's nose, landed on his lip, and he ate it.
Oh!
What's the controversy there?
Has Boogeyman, he can eat what he likes.
Yeah.
Well, see, here's the thing. What probably happened was, you know, Marco Rubio has these little bitty hands. He probably stuck it in there in order to discredit Cruz. So we really need to check the DNA of that booger.
Yeah.
To see if it was Cruz's or not, but he ate it, so we're not really going to be able to.
People eat McDonald's. You know?
Yeah, people eat worse than
but the but you eat a booger, everybody's up in arms.
So is Hillary any close to be getting indicted?
Yes. They have given immunity to one of the IT people that ran her server. This server that was not supposed to be, you know, used with top secret materials and that. This person, what they've got to say is laying waste to a lot. But, you know, it's just so wacky to watch the political circus over here right now because so crazy.
I've got a clip.
I mean, at least it's somewhat entertaining. It's not boring as hell, but
I've got a clip of Hillary responding to... a similar question. I'll just play it.
who gave you permission to operate? Was it President Obama?
There was no permission to be asked. It had been done by my predecessors. It was permitted. I didn't have to ask anyone.
If you get indicted, would you drop out?
Oh, for goodness. That is not going to happen. I'm not even answering that question.
I saw something about she let off a firecracker somewhere when someone asked her a question. Did you see that?
No.
I
think that was a spoof GIF that was.
Oh, was
about.
It? Okay.
Okay. There's, of course, we're at the top of the show, we were mentioning that quite a few people have died since the fortnight since we've been on. And of course, one of the most prominent people in certainly in American life of the last 20, 30 years who died this week was Nancy Reagan.
Yes.
And Hillary stood up at her fucking funeral and said, well, congratulations to the former First Lady for getting the conversation on AIDS going. Fucking hell, the amount of people that like the AIDS campaign are saying, well, they were the biggest pair of cunts going. They said nothing about AIDS. They even joked about it.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, how many of these queers that can this play take out? The more the merrier. You know, Ronnie apparently said under his breath, or she said under her breath once, Nancy. So she actually didn't. And Hillary's actually been forced to retract that.
Yep.
So, well done, Hillary. I think you're on the pulse.
Oh, have you got clip number two prepared? The clip?
That's a short one, isn't it? Yep.
Yeah. Let me know when you're prepared to start it, but don't start it.
I'm prepared to start it. Go for it.
Okay. Newt Gingrich recently was asked why Trump was so upsetting and disconcerting to the political Republican establishment. And here Newt Gingrich replies with a very conspiracy theory-oriented response. Go.
And now they're faced with a very real prospect of Donald Trump becoming the leader of the party, and it absolutely drives them crazy. They just cannot imagine sharing. Well, because he's an outsider. He's not them. He's not part of the club. He's uncontrollable. You know, he hasn't been through the initiation rites. He didn't belong to the secret society. And I think that they don't see him. They have no idea how to relate to him.
But I don't see how Trump doesn't. He might not belong to their secret society, but he certainly belongs to some secret society.
Yeah, he might not be skull and bones, but he's definitely in the fucking club, because you don't become a billionaire without being part of said sort of societies, do you?
Yeah. Well, he claims to be self-made man, but he did like get a lot of inheritance, didn't he?
Oh, 200 to 300 million from his father. Yeah.
I saw an interesting comment on his money, saying that he's a multi-millionaire, or is he a billionaire? Okay. Right. So he's got something like, you know, for sake of argument, 3 billion. Okay. And the argument in this particular GIF thing was that if he'd invested his money wisely, just put it in kind of, accounts that would build and do the right thing with it, he would be like a trillionaire now. And so
like a Rothschild.
The fact that he only has 3 billion,
the number is 10.
No testimony to his business acumen whatsoever.
He reported before he started running, he reported 10 billion as his current worth.
It should be 100.
Did you see the Late Show? Is it John Oliver? He did like a little bit on Trump the other week. That was quite funny. Yeah, one of the things he was saying was to bring back his Trump's real name, which is Drumpf.
Drumpf?
Yeah, D-R-U-M-P-H-F.
Where does that come from?
I don't know. It must be German.
Like that being thing.
It's got to be German. I'll check as a Viking.
Well, we're sort of we're coming to the end of this first hour of the show, so we're going to play a tune and then maybe just talk about Keith Emerson after when we come back. So
okay.
So if you want to introduce this tune, and I'll get it sorted.
Yep, you do that, Steve.
Well, this is Emerson, Lake and Palmer's biggest hit. We thought we'd play this, and it's called Fanfare for the Common Man. We'll be right back.